open up in prayer. Father, right now, we just thank you this morning, Father, for this wonderful opportunity that you've given us to come into your house, Father, to partake of your presence. Father, I just pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Father, that we may know what is the hope of our calling and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. According to the working of your mighty power, Father, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and you set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Hallelujah. Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus this morning. Father, over my mouth, Father, I ask that you help me to speak as the oracle of God and not as men. I speak peace to the minds and the hearts. And Father, we thank you for ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Who does God say I am? We are talking about God's perspective, seeing ourselves from his perspective. For the past few weeks, we have been talking about perspective, as Lori shared. And while we were in the early planning stages, Lisa shared with us how the Lord spoke to her about he wants to give his children a revival of perspective. Since then, I had been meditating on that for quite some time to try to gain an understanding of what the Lord was trying to convey to me during this time. And he reminded me that I need to see myself as he sees me. We need to see ourselves from God's perspective. In other words, what does God say to us individually? What does he say to us collectively? And what does he say to us as a body? Because if we see ourselves the way he sees us, we will begin to move and operate differently. As our thoughts align with his vision and purpose for our lives, we begin to manifest the image that God has for us. So today I have a few scriptures that I'd like to share with you. And like the last time I stood before you, I'd like some participation. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions. And my first question is, what is God's perspective? And your answer is going to be, I am a warrior. Okay, so let's practice that. What is God's perspective? Let's say it like we mean it. Amen. Okay, so this is what I'm going to start with, and that's why the Holy Spirit prompted me to demonstrate that with that we are warriors. For he has for us, which is that we are warriors for his kingdom. So who am I?
I am a warrior.
That's perspective number one. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, I looked up a few definitions of what a warrior is. And warriors are known for having a variety of qualities that include courage. Warriors have the courage to move forward even in the face of fear. Why? Because we know the Lord is with us and he will never leave us. He surrounds us with his presence and goes before us. He gives us strategies and the things that we need to defeat the enemy. Warriors are loyal. They're loyal to their values and to the people they serve. We are loyal to his word and to each other in the body of Christ. Not only do we fight our own battles, but we link arms with one another. And we fight that battle because we're stronger together than we are apart. Joel 2 and 7 says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on their own way, and they will not break rank. So we're not going to break rank, people. We are going to serve together, and we're going to see this battle won, right? Who are we? Who are we? That's right. In this verse, the soldiers are described as being well-trained, disciplined, and determined. They're professional, and they maintain solidarity. pressing the attack according to plan. They do not get in each other's way, and as a soldier, they know their job and they do it well. Warriors are also people of integrity. We live by the values of integrity and honor. We're selflessness. We put ourselves on the line for the people we serve. A warrior of God has many of the characteristics of God because each of God's warriors are made in his image. What does that mean in terms of how we are to fight our battles? Remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert? What did he do? He resisted the devil with the word of God, which is the truth. The enemy had no way of winning against him, but it's also important to remember that the enemy attempted to battle with the word too. Yet because Jesus is the word, and because he battled as a warrior of God with godly wisdom, nothing the enemy tried to do to twist God's word worked. A true warrior of God has the Holy Spirit inside of them, guiding them in his word so that they can battle with God's word. Okay? The word is the truth. The word is our sword. And the Lord does not call us because we are qualified. We've heard that term before. He qualifies those he has called. God does not choose us because we are perfect. He chooses us because he sees something perfect in us. The Lord is like a sculptor selecting marble. He understands not only the process and the hours it will take to transform this raw material into something spectacular, but he envisions what's inside the marble. Like many of us, when we first came to Christ, we were a mess. I know I am. I'm just going to speak for myself. But through the process of time and through the process of spending time with the Holy Spirit, he is shaping us to be more and more like him. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2 and 4 says, no man wars, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So stay focused, because what is our perspective? Come on, people. What is our perspective? We are warriors. That's right. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and 2 to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For we are dead, and our life is hidden with Christ and God. Colossians reminds us what we must do now that we are in Christ. One is to set our hearts and our minds on things above. And this is comparable to fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the truth and the only valid focus of our faith, and we're setting our minds on him. And what does it mean to be hidden in Christ? No matter what, the very core of us is no longer bound to the things of this world. I don't care what's happening around us, sickness, disease, war, tragedy, we are hidden in Christ. The world cannot touch us because our identity is now in Christ. The Bible talks about being hidden in the secret place of the Most High. Psalms 91, if you don't know any other Psalms, and I'm just going to speak from my own experience, Psalms 91 is the one to really put in your heart, because that is a reminder that we are in his protection. I remember many, many years during this COVID drama, I would say Psalms 91 throughout my house. I had it posted on my walls, and I would remind myself, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are my rock, you are my refuge, my strong tower, and you will I trust. Psalms 32 and 7 says, you are my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou wilt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I know as a teacher, going back to that COVID drama, they were mandating certain things from us. And I said, Lord, no, hide me. He hid me. I was protected under the shadow. Everybody wondered, well, Leslie, why aren't you taking the zip, zip, zip? Because I was hidden. He hid me. So the Bible says, thou shalt hide them, Psalms 31 and 2, in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Listen, if you got anybody coming against you anywhere in your walk of life, listen what the Bible says. He will keep us secretly in his pavilion from the strife of tongues. I would pray that, Lord, just silence their mouths. Silence their mouths, Father, because I know you will keep me. And I remember as a child, my cousin would come in the summers and spend the summers with us. And one particular day, he was laying down in the couch in the den. And I came downstairs, marching downstairs. I'm like, what's wrong with you, Maury guy? And he's like, now, our street was called Seymour. Now, we're kids now. And this is what he's doing. He's laying on the couch. He's like, they kicked me off Seymour. I said, who kicked you off Seymour? Clifford and them. I said, what? So here, I'm big and bad, all about, what, 4 feet or whatever. I ran to the front door and I said, who kicked my cousin off Seymour? Who kicked my cousin off Seymour? And Maury was hiding behind me. Just like the Lord, he is our protector. He goes before us and we are hidden behind him as he fights our battles, right? So what are we? We are hidden. Everybody say this with me. We are hidden. So what is this perspective? We are hidden. We are hidden in the secret place of the Most High. So it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what we encounter. We are what?
Hidden.
And I'm going to go back to the first one. What are we?
Warriors.
What are we?
Warriors.
And we are what?
Hidden.
Oh, hey now. Okay, I'm feeling something right here. I'm getting really excited. I'm about to go back to my Baptist days. So what is God's perspective? We are hidden in Christ. Last and most importantly, again, in my opinion, is that we're God's children. In John 1, 12 and 13, but to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We are not saved by how we behave. We are saved by whom we believe. When we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and forgive us of our sins, we entered into a covenant relationship. Barb touched on that last week. A covenant relationship with God by faith in Jesus. So we can say with John, 1, 2, and 3, 1 John 1, 2, and 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. This important passage drives home again how critical it is to know who we are as God's children, because that serves as the basis for our lives. No person can consistently behave in a way that is inconsistent with how he perceives himself. When Jesus instructed the disciples to pray, how did he start? He started with our Father. That is the most important inward personal thing we can say as we address God. He is our Father. So we are children of God. That's our third perspective. We are what? Children of God. Everybody, what are we?
Children.
What's our first one?
Warriors.
What's our second one?
We are hidden.
And our third one is?
Children of God.
So now listen, I want to pause, and I'm not going to ever take for granted that everybody in here has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know our messages are being streamed too. So I want to speak to the audience out there. If you do not have this assurance that Jesus is your Lord, I want to give you an opportunity right now and settle it in your heart. And even those listening online, settle it in your heart to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Let's renounce that lie, because the truth, renounce the lie that we are not children of God. Because the truth is, God has given that to us. John 1 and 12 says, but to all who received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you have never made certain of your relationship with God, let me encourage you to pray this prayer. And if those of you would like to join us so we can encourage those even online, can you repeat this after me? Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to give his life for my sins. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I confess now with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I come to you as your child, and I thank you for giving me eternal life. And I now have the right to be called your child. So if you have prayed this prayer, and those online, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. So now let's listen. Let's go back to this. What are our three perspectives? The first one, we are what?
Warriors.
What's our second one?
In it.
Amen. And what's our last one?
Children of God.
There you go. So I want to leave you with a poem that the Holy Spirit gave me that back in 1999, I was going back through my notes, and he had given me this poem to remind me of who I was in him. And it's called Hey God's Child. So I'm going to have our psalmist play for me as we share this poem for you. Hey God's Child, do you know who you are? Do you know who you really are? Do you know you can be whatever God has called you to be? Do you know of his grace that flows from his face that will enable you to get in your place? Hey, God's child, do you know of his power, his unending power that's available this hour, which has been sent to devour that negative shower? Hey, God's child, it's time for you to rise and see yourself through God's eyes. There's no room for delay. Let's rise up and say, I'm God's child, and I know who I am. So if you have a special prayer request and you want to be reminded of who you are, you may need a special word from the Lord. We already had our beautiful altar call this morning for healing. But if there's another need in your heart, I'm going to ask our sisters to come and join me at the altar, and let's open it up for specific prayer requests if you have that need. If not, I want to close out with just a reminder that Holy Spirit is our friend. He's our guide. He's our strengthener, and he's our standby. Now, Father, I just thank you for the word that you've put in my heart. And I'm asking you, Lord, to let it go deep in our hearts. Let it go deep in our souls. And remind us, Father, of who we are. Give us eyes to see from your perspective, Lord, of who we are. Plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. I plead the blood. I plead that special, special blood. And I just thank you, Father, for the blood that covers us as we leave this place. Now, the altar's open if you choose to come down. If not, let's just celebrate in who we are in Jesus. Amen.